Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Rob Ray with Shope and the Bulldog. Rob Ray's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Steve Foley Law, settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222.
I saw you playing some hockey Monday night.
Yeah. Were you there?
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you come down?
I was there.
Were you on after?
No. Yeah, I didn't do a post-game show for the Sabres alumni versus the Lawyers.
No, after they had the cross ice, all the old men were on the
No. I was there. My son, Owen, was doing some workouts on the other rink. But Sabres alumni played a team of Lawyers.
Yes. A team of Lawyers.
A team of Lawyers.
And were the scales tipped in their favor?
Yeah. No, they worked too much.
Sorry. Yeah, and you weren't moving that good.
I only played I didn't want to hurt myself. There was a lot of guys in our lineup that came a long ways.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, you guys go play.
Whose net worth was greater? Collective net worth? Ooh. The hockey players or the Lawyers?
Probably the Lawyers, because it was a lot of older guys still. Only a handful of really young guys.
Right.
Were you much the better team?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I like the way you answered that.
Yeah, you I it's funny, somebody took a picture of the goalie from the other end of the ice, and I was standing behind the glass right behind that net for the first period of that game. And I showed up in this picture on Twitter. The guy's like, hey, is that you? How'd I do? And I'm like, man, it is hell playing those guys. Like, I haven't been on the ice with the I played against the alumni when the Northtown Center opened. And the thing I remember is that that was Fred Stanfield and Danny, Larry Playfair, and Gilbert was there. That was great. Rick Martin. Everyone, they're not even trying, and they're just in the right places. They're just everywhere you want to go with the puck because you're lazy and stupid and not that good. They're just waiting. They know where you're going to. I go back to get the puck out of the corner, and they know exactly where I'm going to go.
10,000 hours, baby.
That's
what that's worth.
I didn't know. Why are you there?
That's when you – that's the play smarter instead of faster.
Right. Like, so you guys – you don't even really have to try, but you can't help it. I think in a certain way you're just – you know, it just comes out. Like, we're still –
you know what it is? You could play those games, and sometimes you play a lot of the younger guys, and they're going to come at you 100 miles an hour. And you just barely have to move sometimes and just anticipate where the puck's going and the puck movement.
Right.
Because they're not moving the puck the same way. So it's like you get it, bang. I know that guy's going to be there. You can put it over there. And you can get them running around like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So you can really wear those speedy young guys down that are going to conquer the world.
I love you guys who play hockey at night. I was with a friend last night. Guy does some money stuff for me. And, you know, he's got two little kids. I've got two young children. We're talking. He's like, yeah, isn't it you're just constantly on the move? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I got to get my workout in before they get up or else I don't have any time to do it. I said, oh, really? And then we're talking for a while. He's like, I got to get going. I've got a class tonight. Like, he's taking a class online toward a degree. I'm like, wow, that's good for you. Yeah, I mean, I'll let you go. And then I realized I was keeping him a little bit too long. And I said, hey, I forgot. You got to get going. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I got to get this class in. I got a hockey game at 10:30. I mean, I hate myself for trying to relate to his first point about how kids make you tired. 10:30 hockey game.
Yeah, it's late.
What are you, the Kings?
I I don't do that. I did it for like maybe a year or two after we were done playing.
Yeah.
You know, played in a men's league. And
no,
that was
these
it.
Guys, yeah. We have these late ice times the last this year, especially with the Regals at Holiday. My kid was on the ice till 10:45. And there's guys rolling in with cases of beer, and they're like ready to. And I'm not. These are like 35, 40 year old guys.
And
like,
they're gonna play until after midnight.
Here
sit
we go.
Around until after one,
right.
And have a few beers, go home, and get up and go to work in the morning.
Right.
That's
I just can't.
That's
even
dedicated.
Fathom.
I guess. Yeah.
That
I'm,
is a dedication to the
I'm
game and the love of the game.
Right. I'm so shot. My next day was often challenging for me just from getting home. At like midnight from the practice, I didn't even do anything. I didn't drink any beers. I just went to bed at midnight, and I'm like, "Oh man, I'm dragging hockey practice last night." Oh, you played? No, I just had to drive my kid.
Getting dressed for hockey takes too long, let alone playing.
It is an art, though, these guys, but they love it. These guys love it. Like you go out and watch some of these guys are some of them are old men, like older men.
Our boss, Alan Davis.
You know, I go to the Pepsi Center, and it's not always, you know, late. It's never late at night because I never have to be there. But you go in there in the afternoons or evenings, and you see these guys coming in that are, you know, 60, 70 years old, some of them, and they're still plugging away, playing.
Yep,
it's amazing.
Yep. Is there anybody amongst the alumni that is – how many of the guys are guys that you got to, like, pull aside of the measure, like, hey, calm down?
Not now. Those guys have kind of weeded out a little bit.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You're going too hard.
I think the oldest guys now would be like your maybe Rick Seeling, maybe, that still plays.
Yeah.
He might be the oldest.
Yeah, he was there on Monday.
Yeah,
I saw him.
Does anybody ever take a run at you?
No.
That's never happened?
Not in those kind of games. But that was what happened in the men's league, that when you played, they take it pretty serious.
Right.
And it was like you're always coming at you 100 times harder than the other guy. And I was like, dude, come on.
I'm just a guy out here. I'm just trying to just trying to stay in shape. You know?
Just having fun. And
right.
They're still playing for the cup.
Right. I got a chance to take out Rob Ray. Right. Yeah.
The guy who tweets me about whether Alabama could beat the Bills wants to know how the Sabres would do against. Anyway, so did you talk to Ryan O'Reilly at all Sunday?
A little bit.
How did he seem to you? Was he?
He seemed pretty excited about being back. Seemed pretty happy about his situation there. You know how they have got it turned around, and you know just kind of talked. You know, it took a while to everybody kind of get together, and I think the coaching change there.
Yeah,
was,
right. They had to fire
it
was Mike Yeo to Berube, right?
Yeah.
And
if I were O'Reilly, I would be thrilled that the Sabres aren't good. How about you?
I think when you leave, you hope for the worst for the team you left.
Right.
Yeah.
Does that make
and even though you got friends there, you
people?
Hope your friends do well in maybe every other game other than maybe the one you play against. And then there's other guys that hope you do well or you don't do well every game.
Like O'Reilly kind of – the way it looked anyway, he got the blame for last year.
Yeah, but he kind of opened that door to get blamed.
Okay.
Too.
Well, he might think he deserves it or he might not.
Like, no, I think
that's
that
how life
he
is.
Did.
He would.
I don't think it was his – play per se or you know I think it was just the way he acted and talked that it kind of opened that door that hey this is we can blame this guy here you go
you're, being traded signifies
you're a big reason why we had issues here so I think if I was him on that in that case you'd take a little offense to it maybe but
you wouldn't want it to like run your life.
No,
but
I don't think it
would.
Right, that kind of thing. Like,
I don't think he was here long enough to have that happen.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I think
what
that.
Was he here?
Three years.
Three years.
That can keep you from having like the kind of outlook you really want to have.
Yeah.
If you're focused on it, but sure, you want the guy that you know the group that said you're the reason we're not you know this isn't working. I don't think you want them to do well when you.
No,
leave.
I don't think you want to do well, but I think that he's a smart enough guy too to understand that. I think when it was all said and done, if he looked back at everything that happened and everything that was said along the way, that he would say, "Hey, I got to take a little bit of that blame myself for not for how things went, but maybe for the reaction that the people had." It's a tough town to come out and say, I lost my, everything that he said.
I know.
Especially here. That's not, there's certain towns you can get away with that. And I don't think this is a town you can when, it's a blue-collar, hardworking town and you're sitting there getting paid boku bucks and you lose the passion. You I could have been better. I should be better.
To me, it never mattered. It shouldn't matter what city you're in where you say that. To me, it was completely reasonable for any player to have been miserable through that season. Here was a guy, I think most people who talked about it took the angle that he should be better than that, that he should know not to say it. I'm thinking, I don't care about whether he says it, I care about whether he thinks it and about whether he feels it. That he says it is, after the fact. And I would have been miserable too.
But I think in that case, even if you felt it and you believed it, go to Botts, go to the coach, go to whomever, and say, hey, this is where I am right now. This is where I am. This mentally, this is the position I'm in. Maybe we should just do something different. Instead of coming out and saying it and letting everybody that, paid a lot of money to watch the guy play over the last few years and, jerseys and support and all that kind of thing.
I respect
because
that.
When he came here, people were excited and then irons were open and they were jacked about this guy getting here. Mm-hmm. And then when it kind of goes in that direction, then they feel let down or taken advantage of, I would think. And that's why even whatever did happen or whatever he felt probably is one of those times when it should have stayed internally and dealt with that way.
Maybe the one thing about him, maybe we just talked about this the other day, but the one thing about him though, it was never in his play. You could never look at his play.
No, it's never noticeable.
And go, this guy is letting us down because he's miserable. He had the hardest job in the league playing those minutes for this franchise.
Yeah, and he played the same way every night. There was no question on his effort when he was on the ice.
Right. And guys like that, where you can go, here is proof I'm not getting what I need to get. I can hold a grudge against that guy with anybody.
Yeah.
But O'Reilly just never was that player to me. You just did not have. He played every night. Mm-hmm. He played in his own zone all the time.
Yep.
He took every draw. He had the worst matchups in the league. Last place team against the best players, game after game after game. It's history now. He was just here. I don't always have to drag it out. It's just, we're still trying to figure out what the deal is here. Why isn't this team good at all yet? And O'Reilly was maybe the solution, and then he became the problem. And now he's gone, and we're still, struggling.
He is on his way to, 80 points. He usually has 60, so he was capable of more.
that variance happens.
But it's a little better team, and he's got a little more run support there, too, as well. And you're playing with a little different guys, and, there's a lot of things that you can kind of put into that scenario.
Yeah. I'd love to know if he never said what he said after the season, what happens? Does he still get traded anyways? I was thinking he made sense to trade just because what else am I going to change on this team of significance if it's not him? And that was long before he ever said anything.
I don't think he would.
I wonder because I think for the organization, I don't know. There's no knowing for sure what's in a guy's heart. But I think Ryan O'Reilly should be savvy enough to know that if he stands in front of a bunch of microphones and says what he said, that he's basically asking to be traded because his bosses are going to go, I can't.
But
it
wasn't just once either. That was multiple times that he had come out and said.
Well, never quite to the extent.
It's me, which is fine and it's cool once in a while, but you don't make a habit of it.
But they would never have had a conversation. They probably had.
Yeah, they probably
lots
had plenty
of conversations.
Plenty, but I don't think that if he had to come out and maybe put them in the position of, hey, this guy, what did he say? To have him back, I think it would have been pretty difficult even on him to win everybody over again. And even especially if you're coming back in and the result is what we have so far this year, I think
at this point,
he may be getting
a lot different,
friggin' crucified.
Do I want to go around this room and ask everybody if they're feeling good?
I wouldn't because it's all Leaf fans in here right now,
I don't think
they're feeling that good about themselves. They're not quite as vocal and active as what they were a few months ago.
You think they're worried?
I think they are.
That's
I think they should be.
They are a super interesting team right now. right? They're losing a little bit. They're going to get a good – I mean, they're going to have a very tough time winning two rounds, mm-hmm. maybe even one, with the matchups that are ahead of them. And one has been their threshold. Like, they've made it and lost. So this is time, you know, the Tavares move. This is when it's time to move forward. And if they don't do that, and you have some coach versus GM scuttlebutt right now.
Yep.
Babcock is locked in there for lots of money and years. And, you know, then they're going to have roster stuff
to deal with. I think it would be easier in their case to point the finger at the general manager maybe a little bit, because I think people right now are really questioning why something didn't happen on their back end at the trade deadline. Maybe why didn't they bring in something that gave them a little more maybe toughness or, you know, that type of play. So there's questions on why things didn't happen. So more of the attention is being put on general manager than coach. So even if there is that internal, you know, maybe rift, if that's true or not, who knows, then I think it's much easier to maybe escape with one, because he wasn't the one making the deals, or he wasn't. You know, I sit there and I look. If I was a Leaf fan, I'd be kind of upset right now that, hey, you signed Nylander to what you did, which was a lot of dough for a long time, where you could have maybe used that as a bargaining tool to bring in that defenseman that you need right now, that where you're most vulnerable in your lineup. That could have totally changed your team right there. But now you sign a guy, he's not producing the way you hoped he was going to or thought he was going to, and your back end is depleting, and that's your most vulnerable spot right now.
Yep. Or
maybe next to your goaltending, that, you know, you got, you know, Anderson that plays out of his mind, or he's not so good, and your backup is not so good, and he hadn't been from day one.
Well, the move to get Muzzin was to address the toughness. And he fits that bill.
Yeah.
What's happened is they lost Dermott and they lost Gardner to injury.
Around
Gardner's an
and Gardner might not
mover.
Be back.
Right.
Who knows?
So, yeah, that was after the trade deadline. So, what are you supposed to do then?
Well, you have to plan on having depth in that area.
Yeah.
And if you're a team that is planning on going for it,
well,
you know, 2 months ago you'd had to think that the Leafs were definitely a team that could go for it. And if you're going to talk about high-powered offense, they've got it. They, you know, your goaltender can be good. If there was a team out there that was going to be able to go maybe head-to-head with Tampa Bay, you would have thought maybe that might have been the team that could go. But right now, you're going to look at your backside and go, this is where we're going to get broken down or where it could cost us.
We'll see. It'll be interesting.
Interesting. It may not. Who knows?
In my mind, Nylander is exactly the player they signed. He's giving them exactly what they have the right to expect. He's really good. That Muzzin was a nice idea. Babcock costs a lot of money, and he has credibility in the sport and people in the sport.
Yeah, but it costs a lot of money, but that doesn't go to your cap or anything.
They're no, good. I know. I'm
but talking it's an organization that's got they P money.
I know. In the future, if they decide between the two, there are reasons why Babcock would have advantages over a guy like Dubas, who's new and maybe more easily more disposable.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean he hasn't done the right things along the way. Like, Babcock would probably win. I don't know. Like, I'm not on the inside, of course, but I would guess he would win a struggle. And they haven't lost yet. You know, they could have done all these things right, or the way someone else would have wanted them to do it. They still wouldn't be Tampa Bay. I mean, they are. Nobody's going to beat Tampa Bay this year. You can win.
Yeah, but don't you think when you have a team maybe as good as what they should have at this point, that you'd be looking forward, going, okay, who's the team that we got to beat here? Obviously, they worry about Boston because it's a tight physical game. They feel like they may get, but even if you did get past that,
Tampa,
you still got Tampa,
right?
To
so,
get
but,
through.
But
so why wouldn't you start building your team towards? How do we beat Tampa? What do we need here to beat Tampa?
Yeah, what's the answer, though? Like, they have 116 points.
I know.
Nine games left.
But
I can't blame them for not being as good as Tampa.
Right, you need to find an 80-point guy who makes $600,000, which is like what Tampa's
or,
got.
Or just make sure that your defensive core, you've got oodles of depth there that you can...
I don't know what practically...
Play shut down in your own zone and just hope that you get the breaks at the other end. Because they're going to create scoring chances, but you got to get those guys the puck.
I mean, if they could take the best defenseman in the league just from someone for free, then, okay, maybe you have that. But I don't know how they accomplish that any other way. Tampa is having maybe the best regular season we've ever seen. But the playoffs, you know, there's so much randomness in it. Who knows?
Well,
Boston doesn't have to beat them. Boston is super good defensively, and Toronto has a lot offensively. That's been a good series.
But when it
comes
down to winning, in your mind, do you think that over a seven-game series, is offense going to come out on top, or strong defense going to?
No, I would take. I'd want goals. I'd want to be the Lightning. That's what I. That's
yeah, but Lightning's
I want
got a little of each. You know, they still have very good defense.
Yeah,
you know these guys. They have depth there.
On the goalie's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
We're done already.
We're late.
It took forever.
The lawyers.
Have a good broadcast.
They always take everything.
Right.
Blame the lawyers.
Rob's appearance with us here brought to you by Jim's Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Steve Foley Law, settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.